Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Two Posts, Stoneparish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, we had a busy day, traveled to a new town, went out and flew some gospel signs, did some witnessing, got some other things done, did our edification audio. We do an edification audio every day. Post it on our website. Check that out, Stoneparish.com. Go to the Daily Edification tab. Today, I want to get back to Philippians verse-by-verse study. We're in chapter 1. Today, we're going to do verses 20 through 24. Let's get right to it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. You can go to don'tperish.com, get caught up in all the rest of the verse-by-verse teachings. Verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Okay, so remember the context. Paul is writing this from jail and not knowing if he's going to get out or not. And so he's talking about his feelings towards his efforts in Christ, his ministry, and perhaps looking towards his possible execution or release. He probably wasn't sure at this time. So he's talking about his feelings towards Christ and his efforts towards Christ. He says, with earnest expectations. This means intense anticipation. Paul was intense, anticipating maybe going to be with the Lord. Imagine that. You're in jail not knowing they're going to yank you out and cut your head off. Yeah. And he says, his hope. That word in the Greek means confidence, right? So Paul had a intense anticipation and confidence. That's a good thing to have in the Lord, isn't it? It is. And he says, he will in nothing be ashamed. All right, again, this is related to his efforts in Christ. Paul always taught us to strive in ministry, make full proof of your ministry, study to show yourself to be approved, to be a perfect, spotless, chaste virgin for Christ. So Paul's talking about he wants not to be ashamed, all related to his life, his effort in Christ, walking in obedience and in holiness. We're seeing the pattern of Paul's life here. We see it all through his letters. And then he mentions this. Ready? With all boldness, Paul was bold. He says, with all boldness, as always. Paul was a bold man, a bold preacher of righteousness, like a Noah. And that word, bold, in the Greek, parrhasia, it means this. Ready? I want to talk about this. Bluntness, by implication, assurance, confidence, speaking freely, openly, plainly, speaking unreserved, in speech, frankly, without concealment, without ambiguity, without use of figures and comparisons, free and fearless, confidence, cheerful, courage, bold, assurance. Yeah, bold. You know, boldness in men today, or women, I'm speaking to men here, is like shot down today, where a lot of people don't even want men to be bold. They want men to be feminized. They want men to be soft and silent. But here we're seeing that Paul is talking about, as always, in boldness. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Yeah, boldness is a good thing to have in Christ. Absolutely. And that's what we're talking about here in Apostle Paul, talking about with boldness always. What's the opposite of boldness is not being bold. If being bold means not ashamed, how about if you're not very bold, men, maybe you're embarrassed and are ashamed. Something to think about. You don't speak up about Christ and the gospel very often. Maybe you are ashamed. The boldness will come when you're unashamed in Christ by the Spirit, right? That's the goal. Absolutely, that is our goal. Then he talks about, Paul says after that, he says, with all boldness, So boldness is a good thing. I have an article on that. Go look it up at the teaching blog, noperish.com. Look at the teaching blog. As always, also now Christ shall be magnified in my body. So magnifying Christ is Brother Paul's goal. That word in the Greek means to increase, enlarge, make great. I like that. Increase, enlarge, make great. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of Brother John the Baptist, the greatest man who ever lived per Jesus, our master. And he said this in John 3:30. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. I love that. John wanted to decrease so that Christ could be made magnified, enlarged, and made great in his ministry. And we're seeing here, Brother Paul didn't care if he glorified Christ while he was alive and living, or if he had to do it in dying. Yeah, that's the perfect example of a flesh-killing saint dying to himself. Galatians 5:24-25 talks about that. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I would say, if you are not afraid to die, and you're willing to die for the cause of Christ, and we're going to see Paul's looking forward to dying and going being with Christ, I would say you've gone a long way to crucify your flesh and to be living in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. There you go. He says it right there. What a beautiful illustration of a doulos, a servant of God. To live is Christ. That is the very reason Paul lived, and that is the very reason we are supposed to live if we're claiming to be blood-bought saints. The purpose of our life is to glorify God. He created us, gives us life, gives us breath. Paul knows that. It's his very being. Colossians 3:4 seals it. Brother Paul says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's a good test for us. Test yourself. Is Christ your life? Yeah. For most Christians that we meet, claim Christians, he's like a hood ornament, right? Most Christians, Christ is like a bumper sticker. To most Christians, Christ is a Sunday religious service. To most Christians, Christ is a song they like here and there. Then they go live their life any way they want. No, Paul says he is our life. If Christ is not our very reason for living every day, Matthew 22, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We need to question ourselves. Are we really born of Christ via the gospel? Is he really our Lord and our Master? Something to ponder, isn't it? Yeah, I think it is. Verse 22, Paul says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I want not. All right, so in this verse, as always, we want to use good context study. Always want to do that. Never want to let up on that. And the reason is he says in the flesh. He says, if I live in the flesh. In the Greek, that word is sarx. Now, normally, in most cases where we see the word flesh, it's talking about the fallen nature of man, the sinful nature of man, the carnality of man. But Paul's not talking about that here. Paul is talking about, if we look at the context, it's the fruit of his labor, meaning Paul's talking about, he says, but if I live in the flesh, he's really talking about him being here present with them, being there present with them, physically with them, flesh, physically with them, kind of like flesh and bones can't inherit the kingdom of God. Because then he goes on to talk about, he says, the fruit of his labor in his ministry of Christ. And so that's what he's talking about. He is saying in verse 22, if I live in the flesh, meaning if I live right here with you, this is the fruit of my labor right here with you. Yet what shall I choose? I want not. What does that mean? Well, let's look at, he's got a tough choice to make, right? Verse 23, he says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So Paul knows that his death could be coming, execution by Rome perhaps, which is what history says happened to him. And he was ready to leave this life for Christ. How do we know this? Well, the Bible interprets the Bible. Acts 21, 13 and 14. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart?" They were crying over Paul leaving. For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The Lord's will be done." So Paul was ready to pour out his life right there. And 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 8. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. For I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept that faith. Hence there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only me, but unto all them also that love his appearing." What a great promise, not only to Paul, who was a great worker and chosen of Christ to be the messenger to the Jews and the Gentiles, but he says to all those that love his appearing. That's a good illustration, love his appearing. Are you looking for and are you loving his appearing to come? See, a lot of people aren't looking and loving that. Why? They're not really ready. They're clinging to this world. And also, a lot of people I've talked to, they're like worried about their friends, their family, their neighbors, their career. And it's okay to be worried about them, but putting them in partiality above God, that's not good. We should be looking for Christ most of all, looking for him to be coming. Amen. Does that make sense? He says to die and be with Christ is far better. That's what he says. 2 Corinthians 5, 8. "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord." So Paul knows at his death he's going to go be with the Lord. That makes sense, right? Who wouldn't? Who of us wouldn't look forward to go and be with our Creator who shed his blood and died for us and rose again? Makes perfect sense. If our hearts and our minds and our lives are set on the kingdom of God, where we're going to go and live eternally anyway with him, if we endure in the gospel, lest we suffer the wrath of God and be separated in weeping and gnashing of teeth, why wouldn't we be looking forward to this great thing to come? Got to ask ourselves that. I ask a lot of people that in the street, are you looking forward to that? And a lot of people aren't because they're not ready. They're not living for the kingdom. Most of them are not truly even born again. But this needs to be every saint's view and outlook. And not beholding to this world. We're just aliens here passing through. We need to desire to go and be with our Lord. Amen. Verse 24, last one. "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful to you." So this whole area of scripture is Paul talking about, hey, I'm ready to go. I want to go and be with Christ, but I'm putting in a hard spot here because I love, we saw how Paul cared for these people. He longed for them. He poured himself out for them. He wanted to stay and help them. He knew it was right here. He says, "Needless to say, to abide in the flesh," that means to be here with them, "is more needful for you." They needed Paul. Paul was bringing the truth. He was holding them together in many ways, teaching them, looking after them, bringing them the oracles of God. So again, the flesh isn't sinful flesh here. It's that his body just being physically with them versus dying. And he needed to stay there and work with them. So he was torn, right? Torn between the two, go be with Christ or stay and help others. And this is a great illustration of his care and selflessness for others, right? Philippians 2, we're going to get to that coming up, verses 3 through 5. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So what Paul is saying is Jesus lowered himself, became a servant to do what was best for all of us. Paul said, "I need to do what's best for all of you." He's telling us, let's do what's best for all of each other, not lift ourselves up, puff ourselves up. Jesus modeled this perfectly. Paul's modeling it here. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So you see how God's word always interprets God's word. That's why we don't just read one or two verses. That's why we always read scripture and help it interpret scripture. And we don't build theology on proof texting, taking one verse. We look at other scriptures, back it up or correct it or help us understand it. And so this whole area of scripture is showing us Brother Paul, knowing his life might be ending, he wants to go be with Christ. He knows he's got saints he's got to help, but he still says in boldness, always, he's not going to be ashamed. And I know Paul was ready to go and do the Lord's will. And he did. As history says, he was martyred for the faith. So let's stop right there. Next time we're going to pick it up. I think we'll probably finish Philippians chapter 1 next time and keep moving on. Hope you're enjoying these as we delve into God's word. 2 Timothy 2 says rightly dividing. I like that. That means to cut God's word straight. Yeah, we want to get it straight. So many people out there in the world, churchianity, not getting God's word straight. They twist it, they bend it, they take it away from it, they add to it. We want to make sure we get God's word straight by just going through it, reading it, relying on the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, illuminate us. And then, remember what we do with scripture, last point. We read it. We meditate on what it says. We understand it. Is it for us in context today? And then we act to obey it. As Solomon says, that is the duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. Hey, I love you all. Thanks for listening. Till next time, the Lord lets me come again. We're down the gospel road, preaching Christ every day, preaching him online, preaching him in person, preaching him on email, preaching him wherever we can, because he is worthy and so glorious. And I can appreciate Paul's sentiments. You know, I told Sister Amin the other day, I'm kind of homesick, not for the homestead, not for my childhood. I'm homesick for a place of that city, that eternal city of righteousness where my king is, and out of this world full of sin, wickedness, selfishness, and death and destruction. Hey, the kingdom's coming. Christ's return is soon. I hope you're looking for him. We love you all. Till next time, go out, have a glorious day. May God be praised.